Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our carol service. It's so lovely to see you all here today. I've just got a couple of notices before we start. You're probably aware that we've been holding a warm space on Tuesdays. We still need two volunteers for this coming Tuesday between 10:30 and 12:30. If anybody's able to do that, please see one of the stewards afterwards. I'd just like to mention the white trees down here, which were they're from the Blue Christmas service that was held recently. The leaves that are hanging on there are hold the names of people that we may have lost but who we don't forget. If you'd like to remember anybody, please come afterwards and write the name and hang the leaf on the tree. We've still got, Mandy is very grateful to everybody who has bought one of her cards, the cards that she produced. So far she's managed to raise £700 for the two charities, which the money will be split between Wood Street Mission in Manchester and refugee camps in the Lebanon. This is Embrace the Middle East charity, and that they will provide blankets and warm clothes for people in the Lebanon. She still has a few more to sell, so if you'd like to purchase any of these after the service, please see Mandy. And any collection from today and also the service on Christmas Day will also be split between these two charities. As we've recently experienced some cold weather, I think we can all be mindful of the problems that people experience when they aren't properly clothed and fed during the winter. So please give generously to those two charities. And now I'd like to welcome Richard, who's going to lead us in our carol service. Thank you.
Good morning. Very warm welcome on a very cold day. I don't know if you're like me, but this Christmas seems to come even faster than most Christmases recently. And here I am conducting a carol service before I've had very much experience of Advent. But let's make the most of it and let's come and celebrate. Oh, come all you faithful. Come and behold him. Come and adore him. Let's sing. Not that song, but another come song. Come, thou long expected Jesus.
Thank you.
And we're now going to light our fourth Advent candle, and I think Chris is going to help me with this. On the fourth Sunday in Advent, we look at Christmas through the eyes of the shepherds and recognize their joy. They too are told of a Saviour born in Bethlehem, as Luke tells us.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
A church has been built on the shepherds' fields to represent a Bedouin tent. There are three alcoves in this church, each containing a large mural telling the shepherd's story. The first tells of the angels giving them the message. The second one depicts the shepherds arriving at the stable. Even the dog is worshipping. The third shows the shepherds returning home with a gleeful dog singing and dancing. In spite of their initial terror, they left in joy. This Advent, may we too look at our sad and troubled world through their eyes, and however dark our world seems, catch their joy and hope. We light the candle. Look at the candle and pray that joy may return to troubled lands and troubled people. Amen. In the sure and certain hope that peace will prevail, we sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come."
Let every
Because of the way the Advent candle's reading this year, we're telling this Christmas story in rather strange succession. We've had the shepherds after the birth, and we're now going back to the start. And we're now going to have a reading of the story of the Annunciation from the first chapter of Luke's Gospel.
The birth of Jesus foretold. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Thank you. As a local preacher, I don't get many occasions to hold carol services. Normally the ministers pinch them. And one of the great pleasures of doing so is to be able to choose your own favourite carols. And the next one is one of mine, "The Angel Gabriel from Heaven Came."
To me be
the story progresses, and we now hear Luke's recollection of the birth.
Please don't step on the dog.
The reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Amen.
Good at Christmas, we have the animals worshipping as well as people. I think I like the previous carol because of the tune, and I like the next one because of the words. I think of all the couplets in Christmas carols, the one that's most important for me at Christmas, and particularly at this Christmas when there is tension in the world, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Let's sing, O little town of Bethlehem.
To human hearts, the blessings of his hand.
of sin. Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the
have my picture, Mandy. Anybody know what this picture is?
Baby Jesus.
That's the one. Baby Jesus. Hey. It's a picture of baby Jesus. Yeah. Anyone like to guess at when it was painted?
A long time ago.
A long time ago. How long? 500 years ago, so that would make 1522, yeah? Any advance on 1522? A little bit later, actually. A little bit later.
1625.
That's close enough, Judith. 1620. Okay, 1620. Anyone like to... Let's not go for the artist just yet. Anyone like to guess which country the artist was from? Sorry? Italy? That's interesting. No, the answer, but I'll come back to that. It's Dutch. Okay, from Utrecht. And I do need my little trip sheet for this. It's Gerrit van Hockhurst. Gerrit van Hockhurst. The interesting thing about Italy is that he painted this about 10 years after a trip to Rome. And it was there he met Caravaggio. Well, it was there he met Caravaggio's painting. Caravaggio was dead for 10 years. He met Caravaggio's paintings, and Caravaggio developed this style. Anybody know what the style's called? You've got the drift. It's chiaroscura, the Latin for light, not the Latin, the Italian for light and shadow. And it was a way of painting that became very popular at about this time. And if you look for von Hockhurst's other paintings, he's specialised in this, even in non-religious paintings. He was quite famous for painting his subjects lit by candlelight. And because at that time, it's the late Renaissance, I suppose, people were trying to look at how light actually illuminated things to teach them how to paint more realistically. And so he used it in his religious paintings. So how is he using light in this painting? That's right, it's interesting. There's no trace of an external light source here, is there? This isn't Jesus being lit by something else. This is Jesus lighting up the world. And the light of the world, where does that come from in the Gospels? It's the first book of John, the light of the world, lighting up Christmas in this way. And isn't it interesting that the person who's specialised in developing paintings to do with light chooses this particular way to paint Jesus? What I didn't know before I did a bit of background research is this sort of painting became popular after about 1370 when Bridget of Sweden had a vision of the baby Jesus glowing. And in those more credulous days, that sort of story circulated around Europe. And from that time onwards, it was very common to paint Jesus glowing with light. What What are the characteristics of Jesus in this picture? He's awake. If I hold this Jesus up, what are the characteristics of Jesus in the picture? Jesus is white. It is so common to us to see a white Jesus that nobody actually commented on the painting. But Jesus almost certainly wasn't that color. Jesus may well have been closer to this color than the color that von Hochhorst paints him. And why did von Hochhorst paint him in that way? Because the only babies he knew were white ones. So this is a picture painted from the perspective of the artist. What about Mary? Well, and it would go hand in hand, wouldn't it? If the baby's white, you expect the mother to be white. What sort of clothes is she wearing? She's got red on instead of blue. She's got a blue cape. She's got a red top. They don't look like the clothes of a poor person, do they? They look to me like the clothes of a rich person dressing up to be a poor person. They are simple and plain, but they seem to be made of nice fabrics. The artist is imagining the scene from his own perspective. And in the background, we've got a range of figures. I think we've got Joseph on the right, the older figure. We've got the shepherds on the left, dressed as Dutch people from the 17th century. And if you just see in the background on the right-hand side, we've got an ox. Okay? There's another version of this painting in which the ox is in the foreground. He painted a number of versions of this. This is a picture of the Nativity as the artist saw it. When he looked into the crib, this is what he saw. And it's coloured by the context in which he lived, the times in which he lived, the values of the society in which he lived. And it's important that when we come to look into the crib, we don't get wafted back into somebody else's experience, but we think about what's important about the story today. So let's just go back a little bit through the story. We've heard the story of the Annunciation, the choice of Mary as the bearer of the Christ child. What resonances does that have to us today? She was a young mother, wasn't she? She was a young mother. She was an ordinary mother. So much time when we see these paintings, Mary is painted as a queen or someone special, someone glowing with light. Mary was an ordinary person, chosen because she was a good and humble person, as the words of that carol suggest. How often in our life do we look to good and humble people as inspiration? All too rarely, I would suggest. Does Mary remind us of a carer? Of a nurse, perhaps? Of someone who wants to nurture and look after others? We go through the Christmas story. I always remember, think of Christmas as starting when I hear of those words, in the time, I've forgotten them now, the time of the Emperor Caesar. Israel was an occupied country at that time. It had been invaded. Jesus was born in an occupied world. a world that was not at peace. Or at least it was kept at peace by the threat of force, by the Roman power subjugating everybody else. Jesus was born at a time of foreign occupation. And then we think about the shepherds in the background. Who do the shepherds represent? Shepherds are the workers, the poorer people, the people who are struggling, the people who, perhaps most importantly this Christmas, the people who are out in the cold, suffering from the harsh realities of the weather. Only too keen to get inside into the relative warmth of the barn in which Jesus was born. This Christmas, let's read the Christmas story again and again and again, but let's read it in the context in which we live, and let's think of the messages for our time. We're going to pause now and listen to Sarah singing a song for us. And in that time, I'd like you to have an opportunity just to reflect on what Christmas means for you this year. Sarah. In our prayers, we'll use a response. When I say the hopes and fears of all the years, will you say, are met in you tonight? Let us pray. Dear God, we reflect on the story of your son's birth. We reflect on his mother, a woman born to care, born to nurture, born to look after others. We remember this Christmas all those struggling to look after others. We remember relatives and family carers looking after loved ones. We remember carers in care homes doing such a wonderful job with so little recognition or pay. We remember nurses and doctors and ambulance workers who are so frustrated with the system in which they are trying to work. For all those whose vocation is to look after others, or who may be looking after others through no choice of their own, we pray to you. The hopes and fears of all our years are met in you tonight. We remember that Israel was an occupied country at the time of Jesus' birth. That it was a land where force imposed peace. It was a land where people were unable to speak out and proclaim the truth. We remember all occupied lands in our prayers today, and the people who live within them. We remember people who are threatened by aggressive acts of other countries. We remember people who are oppressed by their own governments. We remember people who are trying to speak out and are being persecuted and even executed for doing so. And we remember that ultimately your son was executed for speaking your truth. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in you tonight. We remember those shepherds in the cold, cold fields. We reflect on our experiences over the last few days of the cold, cold weather. And we remember those this year who cannot afford to heat their houses, or having been compelled by the cold to put some heat on, cannot afford to heat themselves, eat themselves, or feed their families. We pray particularly for the work that's being done in this church to provide warmth and friendliness. And we pray that two people will volunteer to be on the premises this Tuesday. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in you tonight. And in a moment's silence, we just pray for whoever or whatever is on our minds at the moment. Perhaps someone we know who needs God's love. Perhaps some situation we're aware of that needs God's peace. Perhaps some issue that we are really concerned about that needs God's wisdom. Whatever it is, treasure it in your heart for a moment. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in you tonight. And let's unite with Christians across time and across the world as we say the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Let's close with our final hymn, Hark the Herald Angels. And as you sing it, listen out in the background for our very own angels making their very own noise and leading us in our worship. Hark the Herald Angels sing.
Man with man to dwell, Jesus.
this Christmas, let's all look into the manger. Let's see the truth that God has provided for us. And let's take that truth out into the world to make it a better place. Go in peace and love this Christmas. And let's wish each other the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.